Okay, turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and so we're going to finish up our study of things we are to do with all our heart. And if you remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't, because we started way back in January, I guess, the end of January. And I went through a list of 9 things. And the first one we looked at was love God with all your heart. And I saved that for the end to finish up with it. Okay? So we're going to look at Matthew 22 and verse 35. It says, then one of them, referring to the Pharisees that were there with Jesus Christ, which was a lawyer. And the word lawyer there means teacher of the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law. Asked him a question, tempting him and saying, so it wasn't an honest question, was it? It was a question to tempt him, to catch him in a mistake or give him a hard time. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And you know, it's kind of interesting that he says master, because master was a term of respect. And yet he's tempting him. So it's almost like he was being sarcastic, you know? It was just, you know, oh, well, you're the master, so give us the answer to this question. He says, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And simply that means that, you know, if you do those two things, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself, in a practical sense, you will be keeping God's will in your life. You know, they had all these incredible, crazy laws, and, you know, and they had the Mosaic law, which God set up, but there was a heart behind that law. You know, because even in the law, you know, God says several places, he said, you know, you do all these sacrifices. He said, but I'd rather you just love me and be just and honest and righteous than give me 1,000 sacrifices. And he said things like that. So anyway, so this is a quote, and it's quoted 3 times in the book of Deuteronomy. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. To see the first place, and we're going to start in verse 4. Wait for everybody to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, we're going to start. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And when it says, hear, O Israel, That's a figure of speech. It's like it says sometimes, behold. You know, it's a statement to grab your attention, right? Hear means, you know, pay attention. It says, hear the Lord, or hear, O Israel. It's the figure of speech, asterismos, employing some word which directs special attention to some particular point or subject, okay? So it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it's the Lord Jehovah, our Elohim, which is the creator, right? Our Jehovah, the one we have a personal relationship. He's our God, and he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. It says, he is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Jehovah Elohim, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So, it's a commandment, right? Whenever you see thou shalt, it's a commandment, right? Like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, you know, whatever, all the 10 commandments, right? You're supposed, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. That's one of my favorites. my son Jeffrey called the other day. He said, what does Dad want for his birthday? And Stella said, children that obey. Okay. Anyway, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And love is a pretty great thing. And it says, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. Thy soul is the word nephesh. Remember, if you took the class, Dr. Earl's class, or Chris Gere's class, nephesh is the word life or soul. Mm-hmm. It talks about nephesh kai is a living creature, right? Or a living soul. It's the breath life of man, and here is meant of faculties and abilities. You know, we're to live God with all our physical life, with all our abilities, with all our faculties. And with all thy might, meaning all your strength or all your energy. Okay? That's pretty all-inclusive, right? And your heart is the innermost part of your being, which we've looked at 120,000 times. It's you know, where the issues of life come from. And then in verse 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And one of the things that we saw way back when we were studying all this is one of the things we are to do with all our heart is to keep his word. Right? To keep his word. We're to guard that word in our heart. We're to hold it fast in our heart. So that's part of loving God, is to keep that word in your heart. And then it goes on to say, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently means, you know, you make a great effort. Part of loving God is teaching your children. It doesn't matter. It doesn't say only when they're little.
Right.
You know, like it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, in Ephesians, right? And I always tell my sons, it doesn't say just when you're little children. Jesus Christ reproved the Pharisees because he said they didn't honor their parents. Now, they were grown men, right? But they had stopped, and they made excuses. I don't remember where that is in Matthew and Luke. But, you know, they said, well, we're given to the temple. And he said, yeah, well, that's not an excuse. Okay, you're acting like you're putting God ahead of your parents, but it says, honor thy parents. You're supposed to take care of them. So it says here, teach your children diligently. Thou shalt talk to them, shalt talk of them, the words, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Meaning what? All day long. All day long you're to speak and keep that word in your mind and your heart. Not just sometimes or certain times. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Okay, now the Jews in the Old Testament times, and even some of them today, they had things called phylacteries. Phylacteries are basically reminders. And they would put something on their wrist, and it might have a little prayer scroll or something. It was remind them of the word. And they would wear another thing around the head, and that was supposed to be between thine eyes. And it was, again, probably a little prayer scroll or a word, you know, like God or something, you know, to remind them that they were to keep the word of God there. And then it says, verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And if you would walk into a Jewish house today, a lot of times they have a little metal thing on the side of the door. Yeah. And it's got a prayer scroll in it. And that's where they get that from here. You know, they in other words, you put it in your house to remind you of the word of God. You know, put things around your house to remind you of God's word. So again, that you keep it in your heart. You speak it all. And this is all part of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. See? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, you know, Deuteronomy is a cool book because it's the last month of Moses' life, and it's right before he dies and before they go into the promised land. So one of the things he was doing was he was preparing them to go in and to receive their inheritance. You know, like it, a lot of times when people get old and they're getting ready to die, they will prepare their kids for their inheritance. I know only of my mom, but my mom, she started giving stuff away a long time before she died. And she also wrote out instructions on what we were to do and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's really cool when people do that, when they have that forethought in their hearts to take care of people. And so anyway, that's what God was doing through Moses. He was preparing them, and Moses was going to die, and he was giving them this last great revelation, which is called the second law, but it's really not. The first words of Deuteronomy in Hebrew, these be the words. That's the first words in Deuteronomy, and that's the title in the Jewish or the Hebrew Bible. These be the words, okay? And it was words of instruction to live by. And three times in this instruction, he says, love God with all thine heart, and then gives instructions after that. So here in chapter 10, in verse 12, it says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Again, and now. You know, that's another one of those, pay attention. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to have great respects, be in awe, reverence God, the Lord your God, Jehovah Elohim, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And another one of those things that we learned about to do with all our heart was to do what? To serve the Lord God with all our heart. Well, how do you serve God? Well, by doing his word, number one, and then, you know, serving in the body of Christ. Whatever you can do to bless and help and do, you know, that's serving God. Okay, where am I? Verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. It's kind of similar to what we read in chapter 6. To keep his word, to keep his commandments and statutes. Now, this is written in the Old Testament, but obviously it's still true of the New Testament, isn't it? It's not written to us, but it's true of us. It's true of us. Okay. So, then he says in verse 14, keep the commandments and statutes I command thee this day for thy good, you know, as you know, you keep God's word, it's for your what? It's for your benefit. It's for your good. Verse 14, behold, there's another. Behold, it's again that figure of speech. The heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. And that's pretty cool, you know. And the heaven of heavens is that figure of speech, where it's two words meaning the same thing. It means the highest heaven. The highest heaven, or the heavenly heaven. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heaven is the Lord's thy God. The earth also and all that therein is. You know, so you think you own your house? It really belongs to God, right? The food you eat really belongs to God. The air you breathe belongs to God. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Okay, that's true of us. When we got born again, right, we're beloved of God. We became his children. We became his chosen people. In the Old Testament, God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were promises with qualifications, right? You know, if you do this and if you do that, you get the blessings. If not, you get the cursings. So if you heard Greg Earle the last couple of weeks, he taught on that. There were blessings and cursings at the end of Deuteronomy. But we're blessed all the time. We have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We have it all. We can't lose what he gave us. They could lose their inheritance. We can't. Our inheritance is an eternal inheritance. But still in all, delight, you know, God delighted in them. Well, he delights in us. He loves us. He takes care of us. He watches over us. And then it says in verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And you go back through, you know, what happened to Israel was many times he said, you know, you're stiff-necked and you have a fat heart. And so he said, circumcise your heart. Now, obviously, circumcision is a physical thing, right? It was originally given to God, by God to Abraham as a sign of the covenant between them, you know, and that he recognized that Abraham was, you know, chosen and he made these promises to him. And then that was put into the law again as a sign of the promises. Now, what happened was that Israel thought, well, if I'm circumcised, that makes me righteous. When in reality, it didn't. You know, and they thought they were that, you know, they never got body odor or anything else. They just thought they were perfect. But then they lost the heart and the understanding of that they were to love God with all their heart and with all their mind. They got strung out and hung up on the law and, you know, religion, basically. Pretty crazy. But when it talks about circumcising the foreskin of your heart, what does it mean? It means to put that word of God in your heart, to understand God, to love him, to take, you know, have your heart right with God, right? To have your heart right. Circumcision of the heart, it's not literal, but it's figurative, which means what? It emphasizes the truth more than the factual statement of, you know, get your heart right. Right? So if we're going to look at this for a second, it says so in this verse here, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Look in Jeremiah, hold your place here, because we're going back to Deuteronomy. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 39. And it's interesting what it says here about the heart. Verse 38, actually, it says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God speaking. Now, at the time of Jeremiah, what was going on? Well, the Babylonians, the Chaldees, were coming in and conquering Israel, and Jeremiah was trying to persuade the king, Jehoiakim, to turn back to God. And Jehoiakim took the word of God and cut it up in pieces and burned it. And so what happened to him? He got taken captive. But Jeremiah kept saying, well, okay, God's telling you to be in subjection to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And they thought, what is he, nuts? And they hated him and they threw him in a cesspool and imprisoned him. So here God's speaking and he's speaking in the future. He says, and they shall be, Israel shall be my people and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart. And one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear or my respect in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. See, and that's the point of, you know, what a heart is supposed to be, that it will be a heart that does not turn away from God. One of the great lessons of Job was, you know, he got all these bad things happening to him. His kids died. He lost his fortune. He got boils on his skin. His wife said, curse God and die. What a woman. And he never cursed God. He never blamed God for anything, right? He just continued to worship God and be honest before God. And then God gave him back all his wealth, gave him more kids, and his life was blessed. So, you know, our heart is we don't turn from God ever. Let's go to Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, chapter 11. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Verse 19.
What chapter again?
Chapter 11. Just pay attention. Chapter 11, verse 19. I love to say things like that to my wife because she gives me this look like she's going to kill me after. Verse 19, I will give them one heart and I will put in, okay, Ezekiel is a prophet and it's during the time in the Babylonian captivity. So again, it's a time when Israel had turned away from God. They've gone into captivity, but here's this prophet who was a contemporary of Daniel. And so God again is prophesying or giving prophecy to this man. He says, I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, meaning their hearts were hardened, right? When it says a stony heart, it means, doesn't mean they had a stone in there, but it means what? It was hardened in their minds. They were hardened towards God. You know, they didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to subject themselves to God's will. And it says, you know, in the future, I will give them spirit. Remember Jesus Christ in John 3, when Nicodemus came and Jesus Christ said, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven except you be born again. And we understand born again means at that point in time when you believe in Jesus Christ and believe God raised him from the dead, you receive spirit. And so Nicodemus didn't understand that. So Jesus Christ had to explain to him. He said, You're supposed to know this stuff. You're a guy that studies the law. You're supposed to understand that God promised that he would put spirit within his people. You know, that was one of the great promises God made in the Old Testament, which we're seeing here. And that's what we have, right? God gave us spirit when we got born again. So we have that. So it's very easy for us to have that heart of flesh because God's spirit is in us, and it says God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances to do them, and that they shall be my people and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of the detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Meaning, you know, if they don't turn back, you're going to pay a price. And certainly Israel did. And they ceased to be a nation. And from that time on till this day, there is a promise in the future that they will be a nation one more time and get another shot at believing God. And it says in Revelation that some will believe and turn to God and some won't. So then let's go to chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Verse 26. Well, let's read verse 25. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. You know, when we got born again, we were cleansed, right? We were cleansed with the blood of Christ. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. You know, so God does a heart transplant. Right? But it's not a physical heart, is it? But you have the opportunity to have a new mind. A new mind in quality. A new heart in quality. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Wow, what a great promise he gave to Israel. Well, let's go to Colossians in the New Testament. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 2. It says, "For in him," referring to Christ of verse 8, "for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power, and we are completely, completely, complete in him. In verse 11, it says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the believing of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." See, we were circumcised without hands. It's not a physical circumcision, but it was a spiritual circumcision. We were cleansed. We were made clean. God gave us that sign that we are his people, just like he gave Israel the physical sign that they were his people. But we have that spiritual sign that we are his people. Verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," or made alive together with him, "having forgiven you all trespasses." How many?
All.
What a cool thing. Back to Deuteronomy. Wow, that was a long side trip. But it was a fun one. For me, anyway. Okay, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to read you verse 17 of chapter 10 just because I have it here. It says, "Circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible," which means awesome, "which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward," meaning he's fair, he's honest, he sees everybody the same, gives everybody the same opportunities. He doesn't favor one person over the next. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6, it says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuteth you, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiceth over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if thou return to the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." And that was another thing we saw. If we make a mistake, we are to do what? Return to God with all our heart. And that's, again, part of loving God. You know, if we love God with all our heart, then we're going to serve God with all our heart. We're going to keep his word with all our heart. We're going to seek God with all our heart. We're going to follow God with all our heart. We're going to do all those things. And if we make a mistake or screw up, what are we going to do? We're going to turn back to him with all our heart and say, "Okay, God, I screwed up. I'm ready to go again." Getting back on the horse. Where did I leave off?
11?
Yep. Yep. Verse 11. Verse 11. "For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." You know, God's word is so simple and clear. He doesn't hide anything. And then when you screw up, he says, "Aha, gotcha." You know, sometimes the government does that, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they entrap people, or they make these obscure laws or something. And then, you know, they nab you. You know, that's not the way God works. God is honest and upfront, right up, and it makes it easy to understand. It's easy to understand. One of my goals when I teach God's word is that I'm simple and clear. I'm not on a journey to impress anybody with my intellect because I don't have any. You know, I just want everybody to understand simply and precisely what God wants. That's what it's all about. So God gave the word so that we could love God with all our heart and with all our soul. So we see in Deuteronomy the love, to love God that way, and it means doing his word and serving him. We learn from God's word that love involves a conscious decision, giving and commitment. You know, that's what God's all about. You know, it's not, love is not an emotion. There may be emotions that go along with love. They may, you know, there's romantic love, but that's not to be confused with love, you know, true love and God's love. God's love is something that he commands us to do, right? He said, you are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's within our ability. It's within our faculty. It's within our everything to be able to do it, right? And it's just a matter of love is a decision. You make a decision to love, and then you commit yourself to carrying that out. And it's giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's example to us of love is his giving and commitment. You know, he made a decision in Genesis 3:15 to save mankind. And he did everything he could do to bring that to pass successfully, including his son, Jesus Christ, who was willing to pay the price that God told him he had to pay. What a great thing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, when you consider all that God has done for us, why wouldn't you want to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? He gave you eternal life. He's promised you that you're going to live forever and you're going to get a new body and you're going to be ever with the Lord. How much better could it be? And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in that he's going to love us with a great love and show his kindness forever through the ages. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, that's us, we're beloved. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, we see God working in our lives when we walk in love. And one of his commandments is that we are to love one another. So if we're loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're loving one another as well. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He's the epitome of love. That's the biggest thing about God is that he's loving, that he is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In other words, this is how God made known his love for us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He gave us eternal life, you know, that we might live. It's not, we already have physical life, right? We're already breathing. We're already going through life and doing the things of life. But he gave us life through him. What kind of life did he give us through him? Eternal life, spirit life. What a great thing. And this is, you know, and he was manifested by God giving us his son. That's what he did. So, and that was a great commitment, wasn't it? He was committed to it. He could have changed his mind. Jesus Christ even asked him in the garden. He said, okay, God, I'm ready to do this, but is there another way? Is there a plan B? And God said, no. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And you know, that was God's commitment. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How about that? We ought to love one another. God's example to us was giving. God's example to us was commitment. God's example to us is that he loves no matter what. You know, what does it say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, be therefore followers. And the word followers is the word in Greek, mimetos, which means imitators. Imitators of God as dear children. So what does that mean? You know, well, create your own universe. That's kind of ridiculous. No, but we are imitators of God in what? In how he has been to us, how he's treated us, what he is like. So God's upfront, he's honest, he's straightforward, and he's loving. And he tries to do his best for us in every way he can. He blesses us in every way, and he tries to show us the right way to go and what we should do to stay blessed. So we're to be imitators of God. We're to be loving and giving as God was loving and giving and forgiving. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they would burn the fat of the lamb or the oxen. And when you burn the fat, that aroma, you know, like you ever smell a steak cooking or something, it smells great. That's the savor, right? And when Jesus Christ sacrificed, it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Meaning he did his will to the utmost, the ultimate sacrifice to save mankind. That was God's love. That was Jesus Christ's love for us. And we're to be imitators. We're to walk as Christ walked in love, giving our best for God. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, you could go there real quick, and we're going to end there. That's why it says in chapter 12, yeah, I got to get to Romans. Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. You know, when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our lives are to be a living sacrifice to God. We're giving our all for him in every way we can. You know, that means we're going to serve God with all our heart. We're going to keep his word with all our heart. We're going to do our best, and we're going to love one another and all the other things I just talked about. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how much you love us and take care of us beyond our imagination. We don't even have an inkling, but we know what you've told us, and we know what we're supposed to do. So we just thank you, God, for just being so kind and generous and gracious to each and every one of us in every way possible. And that more and more you can just open the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, that we can see the greatness of your love and your word, and that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength every day in every way possible. And we thank you for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.